Good morning. Good morning, dear listeners. Welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And is that the right time? Is that the right time of the morning of the Tuesday of the 23rd of December 2025? And we are saying we have one day before the main day. We have one day before Christmas. And we understand most of you, you are where you are supposed to be. Particularly those who have traveled. Some have traveled to the north, to the south, east, western part of Namibia. And, it's a very good thing. The fact that you are awake, the fact that you are listening to your number one favorite radio station in Namibia, that is Eagle FM. It's a very good thing. And, let us greet, you know, the economic movers. Let us greet, those who make sure that, the finance, the development, and also the advancement of human beings in Namibia is continue to be pursued in all sectors. We are greeting the taxi drivers. We are greeting, you know, bus drivers, paramedics, especially those who are at the front line, especially this time of the festive season. We are also greeting, you know, the men and women in the uniform. Those are our police officers, our security guards, immigration officers, defense, and also those who protect us from the known and unknown threats. And we are greeting you, and we are indicating to you, we are pushing toward the end of the year. And remember, after Christmas, just few days, and I'm telling you, next week, not Thursday, but the night of Wednesday, we'll be able to transfer. We'll be able to move to the next year. And, you know, it's quite a very important thing. It's quite a very important thing. And, wherever you are, you must be, grateful. Don't look at things that you do not have. Do not look at things that you do not have. Look at, what you have, achieved, either in terms of your health, in terms of, your finance, in terms of, your partner, even, love these days can be counted as a blessing, because you also have those who are running from north to the south and also are asking for God to give them that only one lovable, faithful, and also, you know, the partner of life. But the fact that you win on love, you must celebrate, because we must make sure that all sectors that the human being required must be fulfilled. And we are continuing the conversation, and we are also trying to make sure that when it comes to the conversation of these days, we look at the festive season, and we also look at what is that we need to do, especially looking at the future, and the future which is indicated that you know, the future is defined by what we do every day. It's defined by what we do every day. Ask yourself, what is that that you are doing? Are you engaging in constructive conversation? Not necessary to say every conversation must be economics, must be politics, must be international relations, but are you engaging in productive conversation, even a conversation about health, conversation about fitness, conversation about mental well-being? We must be able to make sure that they are part of the main conversation that we are having every day. And you must also ask yourself a question to say, if they are saying my future is defined by what I'm doing today, what is that that I spend 80% of my time doing? Am I spend 80% of my time scrolling on social media and just looking on TikTok, people dancing, or am I scrolling on social media? Or am I learning something on social media? I'm spending my time learning and unlearning. And this is a good time to reflect. It's a good time to reflect, because you're always given that opportunity to reflect and evaluate also throughout the year. And I was having with conversation with some of my friends from my street. And there's one guy who said, man, I think next year I'm going to work very hard. I've seen my challenges. Next year, I'm going to make sure that I push. And the next year, I'm also not going to be fearful like what have happened. Because, he just realized, like we are always indicating to say, you are growing every day. And it's a scary thing. It's a scary thing. Every second that is ended to our years, we are growing every day. And when you're awake now, like I'm always indicating, you are 8 hours older than how you have been when you went to sleep. And make sure that you make the best out of the time you are given, because what is very interesting about time, you do not know how long you are going to be that powerful, healthy and active. Because if you ask an old guy sitting on the table, particularly this time, go and ask your uncle to say, how was your youth? He will be able to tell you that it was very fast and he did not see it. Just like that, you are already 75 years old. Just like that, you are already 8 years old. But the question is that we are not really going to be judged to say how much money you have accomplished, but how many lives you have touched, how many things that you can say you are grateful about. And also legacy is very important, because there are different kinds of people. There are those who live large, but when you disappear from this world, just after 2 days, nothing, your name is not written anywhere. People continue dancing. But if you build an institution, if you champion a practical policy, for example, if you build a school, if you build a standing business, if you build an industry, or you have a brand that continue to live, then that you'll be grateful about, because set the foundation and be the best that you can do. And the thing which I'm always telling people is to say, especially looking at my generation, you know, the festive season should not really be used as a season of showing off. It's not really going to be used as a season of, showing your former classmate that you have made it, showing people at the village that you have made it. But also, even if it's a good thing to show good things that you have acquired, also use that opportunity also to assist those who are in need. Because remember, life is a very long game. And when you are on top, does not necessarily mean that you are going to maintain on top. Ask people who, had most powerful positions, their names have been on top of every social media. Ask them where they are now. But doesn't necessarily mean that you must always think that others will not come. Use this opportunity. Even those former classmates that we meet at the village that did not make it, don't have this thing of saying, yeah, look at you. But try to make sure that you assist where you can. Sometimes it's just about information. I'm not saying you must give people money. Sometimes it's just about information to say, where are you now in life? What can I do? How can I assist you? Because you'll be shocked after 5 years, table or 10, and that guy will maintain that high structure or that high portfolio for a very long time. That's why we are always advised to say, never ever in your life look down on a very small child. Because if that child that you are looking down at is 10 years old now, just add 10 years from that. It's a big person, maybe influential, maybe wealthy, maybe responsible, maybe somebody who is also going to assist you, maybe somebody is also going to be a best doctor. But undermining a person based on the current position is one of the mistakes that the nature continue to teach us, and also surprise us to say, you will not really just look at a person down because it's that at that moment. But life is very long, and let us use this festive season to make sure that we make the best out of it. Competition is good, is healthy, but toxic competition is nothing that should not be encouraged, particularly in a country where there is a high level of inequality. In a country where there is a high level of absolute poverty, in the country where crises are in every sector of human beings, or in most sectors of human beings, talk about housing, talk about poverty in general, talk about food insecurity, you talk about even happiness itself. And let us, you know, be cautious about that. And yeah, before we go to the conversation for today, it's today we are going to engage until the hour of 7:30. Let us start with international affairs, to say what is really happening on an international ground. What is happening on an international ground, especially when it comes to issues of geopolitics. Issues of geopolitics, because we are indicating to say whatever is happening in Beijing, whatever is happening in New York, whatever is happening in Tel Aviv, Tehran, in Cairo, has a direct or indirect impact on our lives, because the every day the world continues to be interconnected. And even when you are saying you are on your own, somebody somewhere would influence or will be able to impact the way you do things, and you too, you will be able to impact the way you do things. You may think you are just one ordinary person, but the action that you are doing will be able also to impact people on the other side, either positive or negatively. Yeah, apart from ongoing news on Burkina Faso, Mali, and also Niger forming one standby force army of 5,000 personnel. Let us look at what's happened in Moscow. Stated that a Russian general, a military general in Russia, was killed yesterday morning in a car bombing. That have happened in Russia. Happened in Russia, in the southern Moscow. And, you know, it's quite terrifying, because although Russia have strong military power, and they are controlling maybe to say 70 to 80% of the battlefield, you know, Ukraine has technological know-how, and also maybe strong military intelligence that also supported by the allies. And it's not the first time a high-ranking military official killed inside Russia. Stated that local media has indicated that the car exploded in the parking lot that is southern Moscow about 7 a.m. And there's an ongoing criminal case investigation. And it was indicated that this Russian general was the head of Operational Training Directorate of Russian Armed Forces, General Staff, and that is Lieutenant General Fanir Sarvarov. And that is what is happening. It's quite... quite interesting to see this. It's also quite interesting to see how are the development going to be, and how is Russia going to retaliate, because if you look at the battlefield of Ukraine, they are not well there now, but to look at how things are going, could be that Russia will continue to push, because there was already ongoing conversation about the peace deal, and the spokesperson of Russian military and also communication department is indicating that investigators are continuing to pursue this investigation, and they stated that one of these is that the crime was planned by Ukrainian intelligence service. That is what Petrok has said, and it's also indicated that Ukraine claimed responsibility for the similar attack against senior Russian soldier last December. It also happened last year, December, And also in April, another senior Russian military official was killed in a car bomb outside an apartment in Moscow. Russia is blaming Ukraine for that, attack. And let's see. And it's also scary. It's also scary to see how, people can penetrate into one of the most protected country. And also to see, is it the capacity? Is it the intelligence? And how Russia is going to retaliate based on that. And also to see when is this war going to come to an end. And when you are looking at how things have been happening, how things have been happening, especially between Russia and Ukraine. It's one of the wars which, killed a lot of people. And it's one of the wars which divided the world too into different parts. And you may be able to put in mind to say, it's also one of the wars which, when you look at how things have been happening, even affected the trade, and it's also connected to regional and economic realignment, where you will be able to realize that after sanctions, because remember, since 2022, when Russia invaded Ukraine, what it was known as special operation, there have been a lot of realignment in terms of trade. Either is sanctions, either is, sanctioning of connected Russian business people, those who are called the oligarchs, particularly those who made money through the trade of oil, and those who follow international football, particularly Europe League, be able to see that when it comes to a team such as Chelsea, the owner of Chelsea, who is a citizen of Russia, after 2022 invasion, he was also forced to sell the team, and also to abandon some of the business interests too in Europe due to that war. That's why you may be able to realize that if you don't have interest in geopolitics, but you have interest in watching EPL, be able to understand that in some cases, we realize that when your team is not performing properly, it could be the impact of the war. It could be the impact of, those who are playing at high ground, particularly the big guys of politics, and it comes to, war in Ukraine. Now, interestingly, looking at the Democratic Republic of Congo, they stated that in Goma, Kivu Fashion Week celebrates solidarity, hope, and resilience. And, it's a big event there, happening in Goma. This, one of the cities which is captured by M23. And, when you realize the operations, you realize, the governance, you realize, the trade, you'll be able to realize that this war between M23 and also the government of DRC is very interesting, because once a city is captured, business continue as usual. 23 call people come back to the city, continue their business, they trade, and people continue to go to school. And you are just wondering to say, is this a country within a country? Is this a state within a state? But it's stated that models, designers, fashion enthusiasts gathered in Goma, prestigious Serena Hotel, on Sunday for the fourth edition of Kivu Fashion Week. And it's diverse piece of clothing there. We talk about the creative industry. M23, these are not just rebels. These are some of the functions of, speak about educated people. speak about former diplomats, speak about the medical doctors, because our perception when we think of a terrorist organization, just think maybe people from the bush. But these are also creative, you know, industry professions. You speak about models there. And remember, this event was founded in 2022, and it has become one of the most celebrated, you know, fashion event in the Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo. And this year, it was hosted in the show under that theme of solidarity, hope, resilience, and also in the area where it's worked on. And looking at the founder of Kivu Fashion Week, that is Voyance Batinda, stated that the aim of this fourth edition was to bring together communities, and also that's why you have several guests such as from east of DRC, from Rwanda, from Uganda, and many other countries. And you know, when you look at this news, you'll be able to see that sometimes it's becoming so complicated. And as students of history, you'll also be able to ask yourself a question to say, who is really in charge in DRC, and what trend this is showing, and if that captured area has already communication, has already connection, it has already diplomats even. And you can also see the connection to say there are some of the guests, especially guests from Rwanda, from Uganda, and many other countries who came to share their message. And you may also be interested, it's also in asking a question to say, where are our people? Were we also invited? And how is SADC looking at this development? Because remember, when SADC hosted its extraordinary meeting recently, I was looking at a statement, but a little is mentioned on DRC. Little is mentioned on DRC. And you're also just asking yourself to say, is Mr. Felix Tshisekedi on his own? Is he on his own? Or there is still more help to come? Because the country is divided. And the M23 rebels have proven themselves to be a force to be reckoned with, particularly on the battlefield. And if it was not the Americans who were also pushing for peace deals, if it was not for the US, they could have taken one of the most, one of the richest regions, that is Katanga province. And you're also asking yourself to say, what is next from here? Because the beginning was people to be integrated. Now they have power, and they are consolidating their power. If you have Fashion Week, next thing they will start talking about maybe hosting a African Cup. Who knows? Because those development is very interesting. It's only happening in Africa. Not anywhere else. It's only you know, happening in Africa. Yeah. Looking at Nigeria, it was stated that 130 kidnapped Nigerian students are freed after 1 month in captivity. And seems like the government of Tinubu, the government of Bola Tinubu, is also proving itself to be also, you know, able to track down and also fight terrorism, particularly terrorists who captured Christian students. And the other time, the calculation was on 400 kidnapped students. But now, you'll be able to realize that people are continue to be, you know, integrated back to their community. People are continue to be rescued. especially when it comes to those who were kidnapped by the terrorist, particularly the Islamic backed terrorist. And looking at this aspect, it is indicated that a spokesperson said that students were freed after military intelligence driven operation expected to after a very strong military driven operation. Say Nigeria conducted intensive military intelligence operation that also led to these kidnapped children to be released. And the children were among more than...
The festive season is a time for traveling, a time to reunite and celebrate with loved ones. But most importantly, it's a time to obey the road rules. Check your tires, wear your seatbelt, drive sober, adhere to speed limits, and walk responsibly. Do the right thing and save lives this festive season. Your family awaits.
This message was brought to you by the National Road Safety Council.
Yeah, that is Christmas, and when you are listening to those melodies, some of us will be able to remember that time of the story I told you about rice and mayonnaise, and those were the best moment to see them, and you can only see them after a year, and it's also a time for new clothes. It's time for eating a bread with butter and also peanut. And after that, we have to continue, with the whole year. But Christmas, the way also our Black parents respect Christmas, it's very interesting. And it's also the time that you receive love from parents and loved one. Because in Africa, it's a saying to say, if your father is happy with you, he will not say it directly. He will just look at you. If your mother is also happy with you, unlike our counterpart, white counterparts, because in our tradition and how it has been, it's not that way. Parents always respected as a figure of authority, command, direction, and you not really be closer to them like you are climbing on top of them. They'll be always known as figure of authority. But Christmas time, they'll figure, they loosen up a little bit to say, "Uncle, we want a god," or, "Grandpa, we want a god." That one they will be able to give you. It's a very interesting time to be alive. And also to see how time travels so fast. Looking at that. Yeah. To look at that case of Nigeria. Is indicating that the military of Nigeria and other security agencies continue to rescue, particularly those who are still kidnapped. But seems like there is progress. In rescuing of those who were kidnapped by the terrorist. And also asking yourself to say, at what level is Boko Haram? Because in those countries, when you speak about terrorist organization, you don't only speak about one group. This group, they also form alliance. They also form a tank team. That's why you have Boko Haram here. You have another Islamic State organizations, and also other terrorist organizations. And you must know the enemy that you are fighting. Because these people can do whatever they can, especially to get government attention. And also to push the agenda. And this was known as one of the worst mass kidnapping in recent years. And the abduction also have put Nigerian into a very critical situation, particularly this the situation in the northern part of Nigeria. Tigray, the Niger State, and President Tinubu, President Bola Tinubu, has been under pressure, especially to make sure that he put his house in order. Been under pressure from Donald Trump, the President of United States of America, because Donald Trump was saying he will send his marine there. You just see jet on top of you in order to protect the Christians. I think he was ready to send the marine team, and also maybe the SEAL team, because those are some of the highly trained military units within the US forces that can enter anywhere. They can enter any jungle. They can fight in air, in the sea, on the ground, and in any condition. And I don't want to be highly trained. Speak about the Marine. Speak about the SEAL team of the U.S. One of the most dangerous unit. And they were saying, ready to send them. But seems like now President Tinubu has indicated that he's able. But also to look at to say what would happen if there was no pressure. Because sometimes you look at we can disagree with President Donald Trump in many cases. But sometimes when you look at a situation like that to say, was that really the effectiveness of the security force in order to protect the people? Why do we really need to be pushed, especially if we have to do what we are supposed to do? Was that part of the plan? Because previously, when Chiboko girls were kidnapped, it took long. Some of them, they still did not come back. And there was no pressure from outside, really, to take them, especially at that time of Boko Haram. But looking at this situation, if people are being rescued in hundreds, be able to realize that garment of Tinubu is also maybe a different garment, and is also maybe also trying to prove itself, especially when it's coming to protecting of the citizens, because in any war, women and children are mostly the one who go through this difficult situation. And security, without security, you will not have a prospering economy. Without security, you will not have a prospering economy, because economies can study trade, can study macro economy, can study integration. But if you forget the security part of the economy, if in our conversation we are not including the security part of economy, then we are also making a very big mistake, because even the safety of a business, not even the security from the outside, even the safety of a business, speak about either its safetiness in terms of cyber security, either its safetiness in terms of physical security, either its from criminals, security should always be part of economic conversation, because without it, without respecting the security guards, without respecting the police officers, without respecting the armed forces, then you will not have a thriving economy. Because economy cannot only run by those who are wearing suits, but at some point you also need an AK-47 at the door to make sure that you protect that offer that you have worked hard so much for, in order not just to lose it within a day. So let us look at a short commercial break, then we'll look at the conversation for today, because today we'll be able to look at again 2026, what are we expecting, and also what is the role of intellectual come 2026. What are the intellectuals? When you are speaking about the intellectuals, when you are speaking about public intellectuals, when you are speaking about academicians, what is their role in the development of the country? Is their role just to analyze and point out where the problems are, or they also need to play their part in the development of the country? Because we are most likely to judge the development of the country based on one aspect, but we are forgetting the main thing, that is the role of the intellectuals and academicians, because remember, when I came in the studio, you were listening to Patrice Lumumba, one of known continental, maybe global intellectuals, former former law professor from Kenya there, and also former director of anti-corruption in Kenya. And he's one of the very interesting guy. If you look at his history, when he was appointed as the director of anti-corruption in Kenya, there was a time he wanted to arrest his superior. There was a time he wanted to arrest his superior, especially at that time when he was the director of the corruption there in Nigeria. And before that, he also found himself out of the post, because he was looking at the document to say, yes, you appointed me, but when the document are saying this, so that you deserve to be behind the bars, but, you know, he's one of the most practical guys. But you know, we are going to look at that. I'm going to look at the conversation about academicians and also public intellectuals to say, why do we have public intellectuals? What do they contribute? Are they just commentating? Are they just writing articles? Is that the only role, or they need to play a bigger role in the Namibian economy, in Namibian development, in Namibian, not only in terms of economic development, in even Namibia social well-being? Because if you have a problem of housing, for example, or you have a problem of high rate of criminal activities, yes, you can speak about police, but what are the criminologists doing? What are the criminologists doing? What are the researchers within criminology, sociology, are doing? Are they just writing, or are they supposed to play a bigger role? If you have a problem in, we have been with this problem for quite some time, particularly in the corporate industry, the problem of, you know, corporate politics, corruption, punches in the boardroom here and there. We don't only look at the appointing authority of the board of directors. We don't only look at the CEOs and the management. We don't only look at the institution. But we must also look at the role of intellectuals, the role of academicians and professors. What is the impact of business schools, for example, in Namibian corporate sector? What are they teaching our executives? And are these lessons practical enough? What are some of the projects which academicians have run, apart from publishing articles, apart from commentating within their respective field? Because we cannot remove them from the equation. The same as civil society organizations. We should not just leave them there to be hanging around, because if you are speaking about the operation of the state, and that is something that we really need to look at we really need to look at that, particularly when you are looking at 2026, because when you look, for example, at civil society organization have been vocal, particularly in pointing out some of the challenges and some of the weakness within the governance. But did they look at themselves too? Because that is the area that people do not go. Because what is very interesting is that when Namibia was graylisted, and also when FIC, Financial Intelligence Center, was trying to put things in order, you will be also shocked to say some of the organizations which were not complying, some of the organizations which did not have documents in order, are also those civil society organizations that look at that have been just look at the picture of, you know, others. And it's the same. It's the same with faith-based institutions too. To say, are we moving toward the same direction? Because if they are not in order also, if they are not moving in the same direction, or they are not operating in the right way, then we will not move That's why the role of everybody, even the role of the media, is the same. To say, are we moving in the same direction? Are we moving toward the destination of Vision 2030? So let us look at a short commercial break. Then we'll also be able to continue with the conversation, especially when you went today. We are going to look at what is 2026 have for us, and how is our academicians too needed, especially coming 2026. Because in most cases, academicians, they pull out, then they come and do their presentation, then they come and offer their insight. But if you are an economist and the economy is collapsing, you are also going to be asked questions to say, what did you do during your time when the economy was collapsing? If you are a criminologist, you are a lecturer of criminal justice, you are a lecturer of law. If the rate of criminal activities in Namibia is increasing, then you are not vulnerable to Namibian economy. It's the same. We can talk about faith-based institution. If you are faith-based, you are a pastor and all the preachers, and the situation is not coming in order, you are claiming to cure a certain situation, but things are becoming worse. You also need to be blamed for the collapse of the Namibian, development, because we cannot only just look at politicians, although we must also not look away from them. We need to look at that aspect to say, are our academicians really academicians, or we are keyboard warriors? And what can we do? Are they given enough space? Are they given the resources to contribute to the national development? We can speak about think tanks. Do we have real think tanks? Why do we don't have data? Why don't have data centers? Why don't have a space for academicians to conduct projects, not only about research but also advising government? Because we need to make sure that when we are moving in 2026, we are moving in the same direction. And criticism without a practical solution is also a problem. And we don't do that, because we say, when a PhD holder has spoken, yes, you are a PhD holder, but is your criticism having a solution? Because you're a practical guy, you're a guy who did not go to school, but they build industries. And we have business people who, they have lowest level of education, but when it comes to balancing numbers, you will not win them. When it's coming to investment, you will not win them. And you know them, people who build industries. Some of them, they did not go to school. But what is the role of highly qualified people in Namibia? Namibian intelligentsia. Do they have a tangible thing that they have done? And are we taking education wrongly too? To say a master's degree, a doctorate, postdoctoral, a professorship, did they do something? So those are the questions that we're asking today, and what can they do in 2026? Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Sombe.
Yes, how are you, sir?
Fine, thank you. How are you too, David?
I'm good.
Wonderful.
Mm.
So, yes, thank you very much for granting me an opportunity.
Mm.
It's a privilege.
It's an honor.
Or is it a right or a privilege?
but why everybody says that? I've seen it in many occasions, although that is how we should do it. It's an honor and a privilege to be here every time somebody stand up and speak.
Yeah, it's very important, because
yeah,
the person who is a moderator and facilitator,
yeah,
old, even though the burden is on them, sometimes this one is pointing, this other one is calling, and you don't even know where to go.
Yeah.
So it's an honor and privilege when you get that opportunity, actually. And more especially, to hear the kind of information that we are hearing.
Mm.
So that is more what I'm thankful for.
Mm.
And especially when you now talk about the current issue.
Tell me before we go to that, how are you spending your Christmas?
My brother, we have already, sorry, we have already talked about how.
How are you spending your Christmas as a person? Are you spending it at home? Are you braying, or you are moving somewhere?
I'm actually spending it with the formula or proposition that you brought on the table.
Yeah.
Some other day.
Yeah.
That when we are here with our uncle, let's interact, let's interrogate and ask some critical questions and discuss about how do we advance the 2026. And how are we going to do? What are we going to do? How are we going to organize ourselves?
Yeah.
Perhaps we can come up with some viable and promotable business idea that can be implemented. You know, discussing issues like that. Of course, you can have a refreshment, blight there.
Yeah.
Especially this time around the wedding. It's so burdening. And a lot of social issues, areas.
Yeah.
And these are the issues that the non-governmental organization and faith-based organizations are supposed to have been engaging in.
Yeah.
Generally. But the way we see things, I was even listening to one of the minister, big profile, who was denied bail. Because he had to channel. Imagine somebody who was in the higher position. He had to bribe the judge, most of the advocates. And the criminal justice system had to be, you know, compromised, all those norms and values. But this person, and many of them actually, and many of them, I'm hearing and I'm following how you have advised us to follow some of the happening. Especially in our neighboring country, South Africa. And then you can see that they made their way through to go to the, even to just to intend, with the intention to destabilize the whole process. So, but this thing came through this organization that you're talking about. And some of them were not complying with the rules. With the restriction and all those statutory that are there.
While we are there, what do you think academicians should do? Can they just research and talk about the problem, or they should also play a role, and how?
I think these are issues that are really also highlighted to us by the academicians. And as students, as adult learners, as students, when we do our dissertation and all these things, we also look at some kind of security areas, isn't it? And we look at those, especially in our country here, in Namibia. So we know that this all have been coming through AIDS, you know? AIDS. You know what I'm talking about? This economic dependency kind of.
I want to get your point from where we are discussing to say what they should do in 2026, because when you are in the head and is burning, I cannot just say no, you are burning. This one is one who is burning, but how do we put down the fire? That is economic challenges that we have.
Yeah, I think it is on my own side is that from my point of perspective is that yes, we definitely want to redouble our efforts and look at the current situation, the reality of the issues. And I think most of those people who are equipping you with the information and knowledge, they are doing good. Maybe it is us on the ground. If you have now identified a topic which is researchable,
yeah,
and you present it to your supervisor there, he's able to tell you that this cluster, and I know very well some of these clusters,
yeah,
it's very difficult to go in there and say, let's say security cluster. You might not be able to have information on so. But these are the area. But in terms of non-governmental organization, for example, don't you know them? Mm. If those who are not complying, those who are not doing those, and a lot of them have been penetrated, actually.
Yeah. No, that you are correct. You are correct. And I agree with you.
If that is the case, like the issue that we are seeing there, and then what kind of society and how are they going to save the masses they are trying to represent?
The masses of our people.
The masses of our people.
Okay. Thank you, Neo. We don't have enough today.
No problem. Right. So let's discuss issues of concern.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. You know, the Marxist and the leftist always speak about the masses, and there is a saying to say, after every revolution, they become who they were criticizing, because when a proletarian get to power, they also become elite. They also become a bourgeoisie, then the life continue. And, the concept of the masses is quite a very interesting concept. But yeah, that is a conversation. And, as I'm indicating to say today, we are speaking about the role of academicians. We have what we call pracademics, particularly the practical academicians, to say, you have two types of intellectuals. You have the one who sit in the office, read books, do research, and become effective at the subject, and also maybe teach, or maybe work somewhere. Then you have a practical academician or practical intellectual who do the things, speak about the thing, and is also part of the thing. Yeah, that's why from politics you'll be able to see, when you see a professor of international relations, a professor of law, who enter politics, then you'll be able to realize that that is the area. Or you see somebody from university or from a think tank to the industry. Or you see an academician enter the corporate industry. Then you realize that they are pracademics. And in that aspect, we also be able to see, are they really doing what they are trained to do? Because there was a discussion which is very interesting. What was it, not in Oshakati, but it was towns in the north. There was one lecturer whose name is not going to be mentioned, whose university is not going to be mentioned, but it's a true story actually. He teach governance and also teach areas of business. Then he went to an interview of a CEO position. And then he found his students there. In the written interview, he managed to pass, but not that well. But what is very interesting is that when it came to oral interview, he was the second to last. All his students were in front of him, and it was a very interesting thing to see. This is a person who is in the industry, but there is a bit of a gap between what he teach them and also what he was able to do, or he see things from a different perspective. To say, if a person is an agriculturalist or is a professor of agriculture, is this person even able to have just a plot, a backyard garden? Or does it need to be a requirement to say, if you are going to teach our kids agricultural economy, you must practice that? Or if it must be part of what is called, it can add to an advantage. because if you have to teach agriculture, we have a problem of food security. But I don't want to say you must have a farm, but where are the evidence that you are going to produce what you're supposed to produce? Where are the evidence that you are going to produce what you're supposed to produce? Because when you have a problem with food security, we can come to you for advice, then you can tell us all the concept from within science and give us advice. But are these really advice? Were you able to experience that you are speaking about? And also, there's an area of criticism. You know, it's always interesting to see when you see comments between politicians and academicians. They are not, in most cases, they are not sitting on one table. They are saying, no, some analysts are biased and all these things. But okay, before we go to that, let us look at Roman Brock.
Get extra big savings for an extra special Christmas at WB. Like 2 liter Oros, now only $37.99. 750 gram Crossan Blackwell Mayo for $37.99. 10 kg Buck Pro Fat Cook Flour for $139.99. And 2 kg Surf Hand Wash Powder for only $48.99. See all our December specials online at Wurmanbrock.com. We care.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa Eva Tero ulikoni maundu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe utete opoye ekukurile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mbola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwala. Onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune uto otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendi fenawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge kwa tafano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora itatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kongerewa nora itatu natu bali o itatu watatu o mafilane Eagle FM. The eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Yeah, we are continuing with Early Morning Scoop with me, Devin Shombe, and the time is 2 minutes past the hour of 7. And as I indicated, today we are going until the hour of 7:30, and we'll give the mic to Helmut. And in this case, we are speaking about the roles of academicians and intellectuals in development of the country. Apart from analyzing, apart from commentary, and there's always a fight, particularly those who are in the industry and those who are in either it can be in academia or can also be independent commentators. You know, some analysts are biased, they are sellout. If particularly if something is not within the line of that of who comment is going to. You know, there's always this thing. Now, the practical example that you can give is that, you know, a country in need to develop, a country which is faced with challenges such as poverty and inequality, it's like we are all in the same house and the house is burning. And now, instead of all of us start now to say, my role here is to take a container of water, is to take a fire extinguisher. But let me say the politicians are the one with a big fire extinguisher. But not all of them really know how to use them. Now, our public intellectuals, it's like they are saying, no, you know, this, you know, this is how the fire has started. This is, you know, this is how, you know, somebody have started their fire. They use maybe petrol or sulfuric acid or all these things, but the houses continue to burn. Or the fire started this way, is moving from this direction to this direction, is burning things from here. Analyzing and talk about the problem and whose fault it is. But do we really speak about solutions? To say, if the house continue to burn, all of us are going to die in this house. If things are collapsing, we cannot let everything to go only to politicians, and we know they cannot do it all of, just like that. We need to make sure that guys who are in who are public intellectuals, particularly those who are really educated within their industry, don't just do yourself, because that knowledge that you are given, it's a rare knowledge that you are given, and you must use it correctly. If you have reached the highest level of qualification in academia, that is a PhD, you are blessed, and you must be respected for that. But the qualification should not be just a paper. It should also assist us here. Because you remember, like we are saying, to say you are a product of the community. For you to reach that level, there was a taxi driver who is taking you to school. Maybe he's still a taxi driver. But you are now, we have a PhD in trade and economics, you have a PhD in social development, you have a PhD in wherever you are, but you are not solving the problem. It could be that somebody who took you to school, to kindergarten, is still maybe a taxi driver. Or maybe now he graduated to be a minibus driver. But are you solving that situation? Or maybe the zone within the social status that he has did not change so much, but being a public intellectual shouldn't just be a matter of expertise, knowledge, but practice also what you say. You say, now let me say, I'm giving an example, I'm not speaking about anyone. Let me say you were born deep down any village, anywhere, maybe the south or the north or east of Namibia, out of poverty, and people have to slaughter cows so you can go to school. You have to beg to sleep in maybe your sister's friend's house until you go to school. Then you become, you go to school, taxi driver have to go and pick you every day. Sometimes there is no money. He even just volunteer to take you to school. Then, through also your effort, you happen to be an academician, not really to say because you have a PhD or an academician, but to be really in the field. Now, you have to make sure that society should not demand that you should give back to the community. It's a responsibility, and the ethics of achieving highest qualifications, and also within intellectual rights, also to give back to the community. To say, now you are now a bourgeoisie, you own the means of production. Are you able to give back with your true skills back to the community? And how are you going to give to that? Apart from now securing prestigious position, what is that you are giving? And it's not a matter of being judgmental, but if you have to take the truth and put it on the table, you will find that those who have really nothing to show, that they give back to their community. And it's an unfortunate situation to say, when we are in trouble, we want really people to assist us. But when you get out of trouble, we look back. Because what I see is that when something have happened, those with the highest level of knowledge, they are whispering, they are there in the streets, in cave, in town, minding their own business. But when you sit with them, they give you content that you will not get anyway. They can even predict something that will happen in 4 months to come in a certain industry. But academicians are very quiet. And the house is burning. And you also have commentators too, which are quite doing a very good job. But that should not be the end. They must also be practical to say, how can you help? What challenges are they facing? It's not right to have highly educated nation, but we're still unable to solve our own problem. And it's also not right if we cannot think beyond the problems that the system have put us into. Because if now we're at that level of intellectual superiority, if you're at that level of intellectual superiority and you cannot think to say, nay, man, this system that we are teaching our children this way is not right. Why should I give certain modules just for the sake of modules? Have you ever attended a course at university and you just don't know the use of that course? And you are just sleeping. And this money being used there. And there are schools which were supposed to be built. There are certain courses that you are looking at them really to say, some of these things I can learn them online. Or some of these things I'm taught about them already at the grade 10. Or it's part of business that students should also pay. And also to look beyond that, to say now, looking at 2026, everybody, we all admit that we have a lot of challenges that we are facing. And it's unfortunate that the gap is still widened, especially the gap between institutions and also the gaps between, agencies, either within the state or also agencies at the private sector. Be able to realize that we are still at the speaking stage, particularly when you want to bring about coherence of institutions. We are still at the speaking stage. If it was a love affair, we are still at the speaking stage. We are not yet moving to the next level of what can we do. The test of the quality of education is still not entirely changed. We see certain courses being brought about, but the content and quality of certain courses too, they are still not changed. And we expect again thousands of students to graduate next year. Where are they going? But I'm also very happy to see a lot of institutions now giving and it was really not happening in Namibia, and I think that is something that we should all appreciate, especially graduate developmental program. They were rare in Namibia, graduate developmental program, and they are very useful. But now let us look at what academicians, what intellectuals are doing apart from criticizing. How many of intellectuals too can stand with two feet and say, I am a clinical psychologist. This is a book I wrote. This is the life I have changed. This is how the society should move on. This is how we deal with the mental health in Namibia. And I'm very proud to say that the society have moved, particularly from the direction when I'm operating. Yes, good morning.
Yes, David, once more, just briefly.
Okay.
So we can build from your research finding.
Come again?
I say we can build, say for example, like you said, we are still going to expect more graduates.
Yeah.
From different professions.
Hmm.
So we can then, I said, maybe we can translate your suggestion of integration of those qualifications. And then we make sure that we manage, because the purpose of entrepreneurship, of entrepreneur, the purpose of creating wealth, and having access to those productive resources, sectors, is for entrepreneurs now to combine like I said, we need to borrow from your research finding that, yes, if we have an accountant there, managing accountant, accountant manager, all those different professions. And then you have got the lawyers there, you have got the whatever, all those ones, if you combine their efforts and they coordinate effectively, do you think that there will be more unemployment, especially on the graduates? No. Because I'm more concerned of those on the middle level, those who have fallen on the left side. Maybe they didn't have grade 10,
yeah,
or they had no formal kind of education, but they have informal understanding and education and insight. And those are not employed. They are even 45, and those are the middle. They are not even at the age of...
Hold on.
Great news. Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just $36 Namibian a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Yeah, two minutes?
All right, 2 minutes is too much. Let me just have a 30 seconds. So now what I'm saying is that we can borrow from your research finding that the solution to some of this unemployment and the vehicle to have access and to investment is through combining, integrating our qualification, our skills and knowledge. Okay? So those who are not employed. And then we are then going to focus on those, like I mentioned, that category that is hanging in the middle.
Okay.
Because they are not at 60 years old to receive grant. They are not for the youth, perhaps.
Yeah.
But I know they are, the system is that they can also benefit through you, if you can able to, effectively coordinate your things. Can't we not, that solution that you suggested of integration of resources and everybody, even the country, is also integrating, because we don't want the wastage of resources.
Indeed.
Duplication of things. You know?
Indeed. Thank you.
So thank you very much. Did I take more than 2 minutes?
Yeah, I know it. Don't worry. It's fine.
Thank you very much, David. God bless you, man.
All right. Thank you. You too.
Enjoy your day.
All right. Thank you, Uncle. And yeah, that is a conversation. That is the conversation that we are pushing, especially when it comes to, issues of development. It's to say, when the house is burning, don't need to explain where the fire come from. We need to put the fire down first. To say no, the guy used petrol and used matchbox or whatever they used, or use paraffin. We don't need to talk about who caused the fire, so that he will be held responsible, but they deal with the fire first. Because if we only continue about mismanagement of resources, what is that we have done to make sure that should not continue? If we talk about the judicial system, overloaded, or the judicial system overloaded, what is that we need to do? If we speak about, commercial banks not investing back directly to the country, what is that we need to do? Do we need to speak about them? What strategy are we going to put in place to speak with them? If we speak about duplication of institutions, what can we do about it? What have we done about it also?
there must be a change also in curriculum, because if you are producing top executive within a business school and your products are there, because I know as a professor, you wouldn't be happy seeing your student on top of a newspaper have done something. If we are talking about ethical leadership within your courses, maybe he was even performing number one, then there is something not right that you are doing also as a teacher. Because as we indicate to say, the example which was given to say, when a teacher complained to the parent that the kid is not behaving at school, then the parent has to say, no, I also don't call you when he is not behaving at home, which means that you must do your your job too well, to that extent that you contribute to that person. Because if you study industrial psychology, if you study clinical psychology, and you are a PhD holder, this is your time to shine. Because Namibia is in crisis. What are your recommendations? It's your time to shine. Why are you not shining? Because this is exactly the field that you as apply to practically apply. Advise government and institutions too. And also assist those who are in power. Because if the house is burning, we must be able to be understanding that if it collapses on top of all of us and we are finished. We don't want to be end up like South Africa at some point. We want to be like South Africa at some area, but not in all sectors. Because if the system is too infiltrated and cannot hold power, then everybody is going to be affected. And in all sense, when the program of development is sabotaged, those who are going to suffer more, it's not only the middle class, are those who are already suffering. And I think it's the right time, especially looking at 2026, to say, when we are doing our self-assessment, when we are doing our critical self-assessment, to say, what is my role in this project? What can I do? What is my role? Because politicians can pass policies, but who is implementing them? If the councillor is running away with bags of food, how is the development going to work? Somebody somewhere did not work things right. Maybe if the councillor ran away with the bag of food relief program, somebody who was doing monitoring and evaluation, why you were not able to track those bags of rice that was hidden at the farm? So we need to make sure that we look at that aspect. And yeah, you can still engage us. We have 8 minutes before we come to the end of our conversation. You can still engage us at 083-288-401, 083-288-401, because the debate should not be only at the high level. The debate should not only be lost at the field concepts, but the debate should also be turned into practical solutions. Because I'm always telling people to say, especially the festive season, when we sit on the table, there is always somebody who wants to debate. But why are you debating in the first place? Yes, you are debating to learn, but are you really debating for the sake of winning a debate? If you find intellectuals, especially maybe at weddings, debating about how the economy should be handled, do you think like tomorrow Namibia is going to stand? They are proposed solutions. Why are they not bringing this thing in public? You ask, why are they not bringing this thing in public? And there are also those who like minding their own business. You see, a person is really intelligent. A person is an asset to a country. But a person is just quiet because now I don't want to be involved. I'm just me, my family members, my kid, my wife. I don't want to shake things. I don't want to say something. But you are well educated. Maybe advise, not speak up. Maybe you are You are scared to be seen radical. But you know what you are doing? You are actually sabotaging the kid that you are trying to protect, because when development is sabotaged, not even that of who you think you are protecting will be saved. Because if we don't get, for example, the education system correctly, then we produce a lot of graduates, they go to the street, then the poverty increased and criminal activities increased. When my kid is no more able to go to school, he's going to steal from your kid. It's going to be very problematic, not only to you, but to the whole system. Because when you think you are now on your own, you realize to say there is a gap that you are supposed to fill in the society. That's why if those who really have something to say, they are able to say it, will get it right. Because if I have to tell you this, is that Namibia has proven to have one of the most, highly qualified people. They can lead. They can lead. We had that SACU for, I think, 10 years. At one point, we had the undersecretary to United Nations, Secretary General. Maybe I had public intellectuals who contribute. You can track them to WTO. You can track them to AU. But what are we doing here? You can track them highly performing at universities. Remember, there was a guy, I cannot remember who, I think was number one in Oxford. Oxford. That time, Oxford, we only used to see it when you are reading dictionaries, to say, no, this one is from Oxford. Oxford, the real Oxford, Namibian become number one. Owning a cum laude in Oxford. It means we can change the world. But what are we doing? That is the question. What are we doing? If Namibia can, a Namibian can be number one at Harvard and at MIT, what are we giving back to the community that we owe so much? Because somebody who took you to school, to kindergarten, or the nun that was taking care of you when you were young, maybe her kids are still, a nanny that was taking care of you when you were young, maybe her kids are still, nannies. I'm not saying we should not have them, but we must upgrade too. Maybe somebody who was washing your car, your uncle's car, is still washing that car. Somebody who took you to the university with a taxi, even now, maybe she's still driving a taxi, but this person wants to get somewhere, has now a family, is now growing up. But this, you can only do that if you change to say, name, and I think I can't just be at home, go to work and home, go to work, home, and taking care of my wife and listening to county music, especially at the festive season. But there's also something that I should give, either is advice or real project with what you can. Or some of you have even intellectual friends around the world. Why can't you bring them here in Namibia so that they can be able to do something with that? And dear listeners, we are almost at the end of our program, and it's a festive season. Like we're always saying, take care of yourself. Take care of yourself. You must also be careful about places that you visit. We are all people, but we are not the same. People are coming from different area. People have different motives. People have consumed a lot of things. They are in different states. You are sitting at the same table, but we are not all of us there. People are at different levels. That is why it's always very important to be very, very, very careful, and also assist one another. It's very important to assist one another. Don't leave others at the places that they are not going to come out. Take each other home, and also make sure that, when it's coming to drinking and driving, we must protect the lives, And the Minister of Works was indicating is to say, don't be a coward for that day. When somebody is trying to challenge you on the roads overtaking you, stop and save your life and others too. And for me, David Shombe, bye-bye for now. See you around. Take care of yourself. And greet your grannies, your aunties, cuckoos and parents. And also make sure that, when it's coming to festive season, we should not forget that the next year is waiting for us. We have a bigger project to complete. And let's reserve resources too, to make sure that come January, because if like we are saying December is a 1 week month, January will be 3 months in one week or 3 months in a month, you'll be able to see that we need to look ahead. So bye bye, see you around. Shop.